You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Tuesday, August 8th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Angle, Wall Street, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Happy Tuesday to y'all. The champ is still in the house, brown leather belt alongside. And
stretch that out right there, Greg.
Stretch that. I'm sorry, let me be like a Peter, so you can stretch
and take
it out.
And mine's take up the whole thing.
Yes, it does. What's up, Corey?
I feel good, you know what I'm saying, Greg? I feel good this morning. You know, I woke up, and, you know, I just feel good. I woke up, my DM was lit. I was like, what's going on? But I guess they know it's that time of year, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, absolutely. Scotty, how are you, my friend?
Doing very good.
Turn your mic on, son. Turn your mic
on,
Scott.
Come on, Scott.
Doing very good. Good morning. Busy night. Go to rotoexperts.com right now. Get your exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package.
Dang.
Enter the King at the code at checkout for 20% discount. Check out the King's complete guide to the first round.
Oh, it's done.
I tell you what to do with every single pick in the first round.
Already Lacy not in there.
I'm excited to to get to the other column that I've been waiting for weeks.
Need some new material.
Scott, I'm talking.
Oh, yeah. That's coming soon. That's coming soon.
You told me it was going to be last week.
That's coming. I pumped this out first. It's okay. Coming soon. My maybe wrong, but my bold predictions.
I'm excited yeah. For that. I'm very, very excited for that. Matt Wodica, how are you?
Doing well. I do not enjoy Starbucks not being open when I come to work.
Yeah.
I thought you were promised it would be open.
I was, and the other day I waved at the door and I was turned away. I was shunned.
What is this you have here, though?
This is from the Bread Factory.
The bread is probably not as good.
It's good. It's just not I need a bigger cup, so at some point I'm going to have to disappear.
What if you bring your own cup? Would that work?
I could. I have one, but it's just a pain in the ass. What do I do after, like, I'm done with it? I'm like a germaphobe.
Well, then you should want your own cup, theoretically.
No, but then how am I going to clean it? I don't want to, like, you know, hang around.
On the program today, we have a ton of stories from yesterday. It was Monday. It was training camp day, right? Like, so it was a busy Monday. We got a lot to talk about there. We also, it's that time of the month where you're having the joint practices between the teams.
Yeah. I like that because they get the pads, get the pop, and then the fists go in the air.
And the preseason starts this week, and then, like, training camp's over next week, and we're done.
And then here we go. We're into the preseason getting ready for kickoff, and then it's time for me to start, you know, scoring more fantasy points than everybody else in the league. That's normally how this situation goes down when we get into the months of September, October, November, December. So then that's how we play it. You know what I'm saying? I want to commend me and you yesterday, Greg.
Sure.
You know why, right?
I don't, but I'm excited about it.
Huh?
What do we do?
We knew something wasn't right. Where there's smoke, there's fire with Quincy and Nunez.
Oh, you mean it's not like a next stream where a guy was back in the lineup the next day?
Yeah, it's not like that.
Okay.
I might have to correct you on that when we come back.
Please
do.
We'll talk about Quincy Nunez on the other side. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning up and running on a Tuesday.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Corey, but yesterday on the program, I mentioned, you know, I was going through some of the headlines of the weekend. I was like, oh, man, Quincy Nunez got this neck injury, and I don't like neck injuries. That sounds scary.
Yeah.
And some other people at this table
said,
like, listen, I don't know if this is the case in this situation, but there's certain hitters in baseball. Not that you want to compare baseball and football. This is what he said. Not that you want to compare baseball and football, but you've seen a guy leave a game with a neck strain and come back the next day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, football's not really the same because you get hit in the neck and you die. So.
And I was like, it's not like he got hit in the back with a neck. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, so but, it's what I said was, and this came out with the reports of the Anunoby injury yesterday is, and you know, Dr. A has also said that, that, look, you guys were correct in your assessment, but he also said at the same time that I was correct in my assessment that neck injuries.
You talked to Dr. A last night?
The neck injuries, I've heard this from Dr. A, and I read this in some of the reports about Anunoby that neck injuries are most of the difficult to gauge. Now, you guys ended up being right, but I was right the same to say that, you know, it's a difficult injury to gauge, and we have to wait for the final report, well, which turned out to be, you know, your diagnosis.
Just this is a little bit different because he had a neck injury in June, then he re-injured his neck, so we knew it was going to be bad. Quincy Nunwa out for the season with a bad neck injury. I believe it's a herniated disc up there, and then that sounds very painful and very, very scary, which is why you don't want to get hit if you're Quincy Nunwa, because, you know, there could be some serious, serious repercussions. I know I'm joking and laughing and making fun of it, but serious repercussions if anything goes wrong with that neck. Nunwa was out for the year. Robbie Anderson's facing a suspension and looks terrible in Jets camp. I understand that opportunity doesn't always create production, as Scott likes to say. But Josh McCown has to throw the ball to somebody, doesn't he?
Austin Seferian Jenkins. He's probably going to be suspended two games.
He's also suspended the first two games.
He's probably going to lead them in targets.
So, talk to me here.
Bilal Powell. Ding, ding, ding. He's the best player in the offense. He's the most dynamic playmaker. He can do the most with the football. He's going to be relied upon heavy. Am I saying he's going to lead the Jets in targets? No, but he is going to be, he's going to get a lot of targets. Mark my words, when we get to Labor Day weekend, Bilal Powell will be in the fourth round of fantasy football drafts.
I think it makes Matt Forte somewhat more interesting.
That's true, too. Yep.
I was kind of like writing him off and saying the sun was setting on him, but, you know, I don't really see them throwing deep balls, or maybe they throw deep balls, but I think it'll be picked off more.
I think this is a situation where we all like Powell, and maybe even like him a little more, but this is a situation to watch now during the preseason what it becomes. Guys that we're not normally thinking of by default, somebody or two is going to step up and gain a relationship with Josh McCown, and that person is not even being drafted in 20-round drafts right now. I think there's an opportunity. You got two rookies there, Adarius Stewart and Chad Hansen. You have to put these names on your watch list right now because either one of them is capable of stepping up. And Hansen, look, he's still got to prove it in preseason, but I've talked about this guy before, and I'm going to see one of the Jets beat writers later, and I'm going to try to pick his brain about this because he's been at camp. But Hansen does have the skill set to replace Nunwa as a chain mover, as a possession receiver. Stewart is more of a downfield guy, etc., whereas Hansen has drawn some comparisons to like a poor man's Hines Ward. So this is a situation you have to watch where you almost don't know who's going to step up and it's going to have to shake itself out.
I still take Minitron over both.
We're going to get to Kenny Golladay in a little bit. But this Jets situation, Scott, I mean, you talk about putting Adarius Stewart, Chad Hansen on the watch list. Not every offense, obviously, produces wide receivers worth playing, right? I think that, like, San Francisco last year, there's nobody on the San Francisco 49ers that you wanted to start at the wide receiver position. So it's not that clear that you're guaranteed to have a wide receiver with the Jets. But I agree with you. You have to just keep these names in the forefront because
It's not. I'm not guaranteeing it, but I'm saying these are guys now that you have to watch. And you know, what if the Jets, like Anquan Boldin, just signed with Buffalo? Though, you know, what if the Jets look? It's not out of the realm of possibility for them to make a trade, or to sign somebody, or something. There's no good wide receiver free agents out there, really. But could the Jets make a deal? Who knows? I don't think anybody knows who's going to be the featured wide receiver now. You know, once the opening game is there, and it's something we're going to have to watch.
It's not going to be a featured wide receiver.
Yeah, the Jets want to be.
There might be.
So this works out perfect for them. If you think
sure.
What if one of the rookies steps up?
The one thing that it may do is, as Corey mentioned, Bilal Powell, it may make his price maybe a little too expensive for me. I don't know.
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting riser here.
Why is that price too expensive, man?
No, I said it may.
Okay.
Well,
right now,
here's my question, guys. With the news of Quincy Enunwa yesterday, where do we move Bilal Powell up in everybody's rankings? Like, what does it do to his ranking? Corey, you've been the high guy on Bilal Powell. Where do you have him right now?
I'm going into the app right now. Going in right now. I'm going to move him. I'm moving Bilal Powell. He's going up one spot in my rankings.
Okay.
Bilal Powell is now in PPR. Bilal Powell is now running back 17, right behind Christian McCaffrey at 16.
Okay, so is he ahead of Danny Woodhead?
Yeah, he's way ahead of Danny Woodhead.
Way ahead of Danny Woodhead. Matt, you're the high guy, Danny Woodhead. Is Bilal Powell ahead of Danny Woodhead?
I'm taking Danny Woodhead.
You're still taking Danny Woodhead. Okay, Scott.
I'm going Powell. He's going to be a big part of that offense regardless, both as a runner and receiver. I think he's a more complete back than Danny Woodhead, and we haven't seen any reason to doubt his durability yet.
Let me ask you this. I'm not even saying this as a joke, Scotty. Bilal Powell or Eddie Lacy?
Bilal Powell.
Okay,
I told you after I spoke to Dr. A, I'm not taking Eddie Lacy in the fifth round anymore.
It took Dr. A to tell you that.
That's right, because he wasn't saying Eddie Lacy sucks. I have him ranked 400th. He gave me an actual physical reason why to doubt him.
And would you like to remind all of our listeners of that reason?
Because he tore the biggest ligament in his ankle. He had to have it replaced. Medically with screws, etc., and he feels it's an injury that can crop up again during the season.
Are you drafting Thomas Rawls everywhere then?
I'm talking to Maddie about this before the show. I think if Lacy isn't there, it could be a timeshare between Rawls and Procise. I think I'm bumping Procise up and maybe keeping Rawls where he is. I don't trust Rawls to stay healthy. Look, Procise gets banged up himself, but the Seattle backfield is going to become a little bit more confusing now, I think.
You know, to me, it's funny because you don't trust Lacy's health, which is the reason you're kind of moving him down a little bit. You don't trust Rawls' health, as you just mentioned.
Right.
We obviously don't trust Procise's health.
Yep.
So this whole situation in Seattle, where they're going to get back to the ground, sounds like it could really blow up.
I think if Rawls does stay healthy, I don't think it does because, you know, Rawls has been already there and, you know, knows how to do the read option, et cetera. But you're right in a sense, though, because, you know, Procise is not really a read option back. He's a receiving back.
Correct.
And, you know, look, if I think at the outset, right now, all the Seattle reporters are saying that Lacy is set to open the season as the number one guy. So that's how they're going to trot it out at the beginning of the season. If he gets hurt again, which he could, things might change.
Nothing for nothing, but Eddie Lacy made that 250-pound weigh-in, Scott. He's looking good.
Made some more money for himself.
Yeah. So it's good. He's looking good. Russell Wilson and Richard Sherman are hugging each other. Things are all good in Seattle.
Yep.
Corey, you got nothing for that?
I mean, they hugging each other. That don't mean nothing. They don't like each other. The offense don't like the defense. You feel what I'm saying? So it don't mean nothing if they hugging each other. Listen, it's going to be interesting how they work the offense. Obviously, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson are very good at what they do, getting this team in a situation to make that run in that weak division. But the thing that I think is intriguing is I think it's going to be another season with lack from the running game. This kid, Lacy, we know he's trash. The dude, Procise, beat up all last year. And then the kid, Rawls, was beat up all last year, too. So give me some more Dougie Baldwin. Give me some more Jimmy Graham. You feel what I'm saying? There's no real reason. I'm putting it out there like this. Seattle is not a team that you go to look for running back production in 2016.
There you go.
Last year?
I mean 2017. Okay. I'm sorry, Scott. I made a mistake. Yeah. I'm not perfect.
And 2016, that's for actually.
Sure. You don't like TJ Procise at all?
I like Procise. I'll draft Procise. Yeah, I'll take a flyer on Procise.
The problem with Procise is, you know, if he stays healthy, he's maybe the most talented running back on that team. He's an excellent pure runner. He's explosive. He can score from anywhere on the field. But you know, the guy just can't stay healthy. When he's out there, though, it's, you know, look, he could, Lacy gets hurt, he could overtake Rawls, you know, for, I think, more reps. You know, he's that talented, but he's a significant injury risk.
As are all the Seattle Seahawks running backs. And, of course, it's something that I know Corey Parson will keep an eye on for Scott all season long.
I don't think he has to. I will make sure.
I write for the team website. I don't think he has to.
But you see, you're objective, right?
Look at this guy. Exhibition game last week. He mentions the Cowboys like 19 times an hour, and it's a friggin' exhibition game.
Wait. You're objective when it comes to the Seahawks.
Yeah.
But you just mentioned that you're ready for the Seahawks website.
America's team on tonight. America's team on tonight. America's team on tonight. America's team on tonight. Watch Kellen Moore. America's team on tonight.
All right, never mind. Let's just go for Washington. Okay. We'll come back. Talk more headlines from yesterday, including the evolving Tyreek Hill, who, well, everybody's talking about. So we'll do it also. Next, here on the RotoExperts in the Morning.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
So I mentioned going to the break that one of the talks of training camp thus far, at least from what I'm seeing in Kansas City, is the evolution that is Tyreek Hill. Now, Tyreek Hill, really for most of the last few months, he was a lightning rod, right? He was, what is that term again, Corey?
It's a polarizing figure.
No. The term for Eric Young's picks.
Mouse in the house.
Thank you. He was the... I thought where he was going, he was the mouse in the house. Because I wasn't going to take Tyreek Hill at that spot. We talked so much about where you would draft him and how he would be simply on your team if you had the proper roster construction. Now, Tyreek Hill explosively got in the end zone way too many times last year doing different things. And it just was not predictable, right? There was just no guarantee from anything that we could have with Tyreek Hill. Now, not that I trust beat reporters and not that I trust way that coaches are saying, but we have to bring it up. And one of those things that we have to bring up is the fact that legitimately every day, a different beat reporter or a different source out of Kansas City tells us how great Tyreek Hill is, how great Tyreek Hill looks, what Tyreek Hill is going to do, along with how Tyreek Hill and Alex Smith, and I know it's Alex Smith, have this incredible rapport. The latest report yesterday had Tyreek Hill actually getting off of kick returns because he was going to now focus on being the number one wide receiver for Kansas City, especially without Jeremy Maclin. When Maclin was released about a month or two ago, everybody immediately jumped on Tyreek Hill, and we were all like, no, kind of slow your roll. Travis Kelce's the guy. Tyreek Hill's going to be still Tyreek Hill. And yet now, people are predicting, obviously, a career high in catches, a career high in yards, and a career high in everything. Just an unbelievable year for Tyreek Hill, given how he looks and how he has improved here in training camp. Has this made you, Matt Modica, more excited about drafting Tyreek Hill?
Not more excited about drafting him. Look, I love watching the guy play. He's not a guy that I'm probably going to own because I would take him in the fifth in the right roster construction. I don't want him as my first or second wide receiver. This kind of reminds me a lot like last year when we talked up Tyler Lockett and everybody was, he was going pretty much in the same range, maybe not as high. You know, maybe Hill's going around earlier in some cases. But look, I'm not denying this guy's talent. And, he's a guy that I think a lot of people want to own on their team. Like, they go out of their way to own him in certain instances. And that's usually not a good thing.
So you, in summary, you're basically saying, listen, all these reports, they're great, they're exciting, but you still want him in the right roster construction, in the right round, on the right team.
It's not like he don't want him at all.
Not that he doesn't want him at all.
Well, I want to have two solid wide receivers, number one, before I would draft him.
You're not going out of your way to get Tyreek Hill. You're not targeting Tyreek Hill.
As Corey will say with certain teams, you don't want to go there for your running backs. I don't think Kansas City's really a place where you're going crazy to go after the wide receiver. I'm just being honest. Look, the tight end position, it's a different thing. And I even think Kelce, most places, I think I own one share of him. I'm not paying up for him either.
You're staying out of the Kansas City passing attack.
Yeah, it's basically based on price. It's not that I don't like these players. Tight end, I'm really not looking to pay up on. And I think Tyreek Hill, there's too much that could go wrong to not make him a profitable player.
Scotty, let me go to you here, because, you know, you are traditionally a conservative drafter. I know yesterday we were giving you some names, and we were like, whoa, this is not the Scott angle I know. And Tyreek Hill, we've all been excited about. Matt's not moving him really anywhere. Given what you are reading, I know you're also Mr. Anti-Alex Smith, but given what we are reading, and all this excitement coming out of KC regarding Tyreek Hill, have you gained any more trust for him?
I'm not buying into this, all this hype. You know, this is really about Hill doing what they ask him to do, which is, you know, step forward more as a receiver. And, you know, to his credit, you know, he's taking on the role, et cetera. But, you know, this is just camp. This is not when guys line up and play for real. I still think he has a lot to prove. Like Matt says, I agree with him. There's, you know, there's some playmaking talent there, of course. They want to preserve him by taking him off kick return teams, which means that they're promoting him. And, you know, he's working hard enough and obviously to do this, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to trust him to have big games as a number one wide receiver and a top target of defenses and defensive game plans when the season starts. Like, you're hearing everything you want to hear. It's like when you groom somebody for a job and they work hard and they study and everything, but when you got to go out and perform in the NFL, I just don't trust him on a week-to-week basis. I think he's too boom or bust. I'll take him as my wide receiver three, which probably means I'm not going to get him.
Let me ask you this in a different way, Corey.
Yeah.
Because Scott described the situation right, and he described Tyreek Hill. However, I don't think he described the way that Tyreek Hill is a little bit different. Yes, Tyreek Hill is not the number one wide receiver in KC. He's going to get all this extra attention. But the player that Tyreek Hill is doesn't all of a sudden make him, like, built as your prototypical number one wide receiver that the guy's just going to target. Like, I get when we talk about Jordan Howard and the lack of weapons in Chicago, okay, they're going to target Jordan Howard. They're going to target Cameron Meredith. Tyreek Hill is obviously a different player than really anybody. Maybe Tyler Lockett was the best example of a similar type.
I don't think Tyler Lockett, because Tyler Lockett wasn't a one.
No.
Okay, fine.
Not as talented as Hill, but I understand what the comparison is coming from.
The
these range. Type of unique guys, like, you know, who you give them on handoffs and you split them out. You know, to me, it's like these Percy Harvin types, you know?
Sure. So yeah. I
trust them.
That's why I like the Lockett comparison.
Yeah.
But Tyreek Hill is a little bit different than a typical number one wide receiver. And I know you don't want to just get all in on this KC passing attack, but you, sir, are the one that has quoted meticulously that scared money don't make money. By drafting Tyreek Hill, you're proving you're not scared.
Yeah, I'm gonna have some exposure to Tyreek Hill. I like the things they're saying out of Kansas City right now. Do I want him as a two or a three? Not necessarily.
So you want him as a three?
I would
either.
Stomach it as a three. Feel what I'm saying? I would much like to rather get him as my flex position so he doesn't beat me up too bad. Obviously, that's going to be a roster construction deal, or maybe it's a player that I get when we do the auction, the GST auction. Maybe I'll pay up for him then, something like that. I'm going to have exposure to Tyreek Hill on some teams with some money on it, because you just cannot ignore the production and the talent, and now he gets opportunity to go in there and be the number one wide receiver. Everybody's talking the young man up. I know everything that you hear this time of year you can't believe, but I'm saying it for a minute now. The production is too real to ignore. He's the type of guy, Tyreek Hill, that can win you an overall.
I'll tell you what, Carl Savchik in the Flex League, we talked a lot about Carl's team.
The way he did it was horrible.
I agree with that. Okay. Tyreek Hill went with a ninth pick in the fifth round. That is not an unacceptable place to take Tyreek
Hill.
That
isn't. That is. I'll be honest with you. If I'm going to take him, that for me is an acceptable spot.
I agree.
But
right,
with, like, these reports, though, he started getting pushed up even more.
I've seen him go in the third round.
That's crazy.
So, Scott, I know what you're saying about the reports, but I think it was a month or two ago where we're seeing him go in the third and the fourth, and the four of us are like, this is absolutely,
I know, but
ludicrous.
We just saw him go in fifth. I think we'll see him go more consistently
but
in the fourth and the third.
But that's an industry draft that the running backs in that one really get pushed.
Yeah. But I've
seen some industry drafts. I'm saying some industry drafts, I would be shocked to see him get pushed up the board.
My point is, it was a month ago that we saw him in the industry drafts go in the third and the fourth. We have had this, not reversal, but this hard stance on Tyreek Hill that the four of us were all in agreement on here a couple weeks ago, that You give me him as my third wide receiver in the fifth, I can get in on this. Carl Savchik, with the ninth pick of the fifth round, we were three picks away from the sixth round, took this guy, what should have been his third wide receiver. Said if it's second in the first, Sammy Watkins. So Carl did not do it right, roster construction-wise. But toward the end of the fifth, as your third wide receiver, I am very, very interested in Tyreek Hill.
I'm okay with that, but I just don't think that's going to happen too much going forward.
Well,
let's go and put it like this. It'll happen in the flex again this weekend. In the industry league, it's going to happen. Because the rest of the industry is going to feel the same way that you feel about Tyreek Hill, that he's too boom or bust, that he's too risky. The bottom line is they're going to throw the football. The kid's a dynamic talent. He can catch a screen pass like Demaryius Thomas and go to the crib. You feel what I'm saying? So I can't ignore Tyreek Hill just because of how his game was last year. They let Jeremy Maclin walk. I think the guy's game is evolving, Tyreek Hill. They trust him. You feel what I'm saying? If Mahomes get the job, oh, God, watch out.
Well, look, it's not black or white. It's not here or there. I'm not talking all negative on Tyreek Hill. You point out some good things. He is talented. What I thought was I think he's going to be completely unreliable. He's got some big games and then maybe two, three stinkers in a row.
I'd rather draft Martavis Bryant, hands down. If I'm going to take a shot on a guy like that, it's for me, it's Martavis Bryant. I retweeted Sigmund Bloom's tweet yesterday. Martavis Bryant has 8 career starts. He has 15 career touchdowns. I mean, to me, he is everything you want from a wide receiver. He has Ben. He has Bell and Brown there, too, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think, you know, there's only so many people you can, you know, cover and stuff. There's only so many ways you can attack as a defense. Look, I'm not saying don't draft Tyreek Hill. At where he went in this, that's great. I don't think, you know, as the month appears, there's always going to be somebody in a league that's going to value him much higher than me. I just, like I said, I don't know what you guys were saying last year about Tyler Lockett, but I'm looking at the price, and I think a lot of that stuff was probably true, what we're saying about Hill. He's a dynamic player. He can score from anywhere on the field.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a good point, because Pittsburgh has one of the most aggressive offenses in the NFL. The Chiefs have tried to become down more aggressive downfield, but, you know, they're just, you know, like he said, there's so much more surrounding talents and a better quarterback, you know, terms for fantasy.
Now, Tyreek Hill, as I said, at the end of the fifth round in this spot, would you rather have Tyreek Hill or Willie Snead, who we're going to get to in just a second, by the way?
That's a no-brainer for me.
That's roster construction is the key to that. If you're looking for receptions, grab Willie Snead. You want some high touchdown upside, go Tyreek Hill.
I'm going to say Willie Snead.
Oh, Willie Snead.
All right, the two of you like Willie Snead. Corey, you're about roster construction. We'll talk about roster construction for the New Orleans Saints and Willie Snead when we return here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Asked everybody a moment ago, Tyreek Hill or Willie Snead, back to back in the flex league, wide receivers 28 and 29. Scott and Matt basically said no brainer, Willie Snead. Of course, the roster construction, you want receptions, you go Snead. If you want the big playability, you go Tyreek Hill. Matt, were you comfortable as Willie Snead as a wide receiver 2, or you want him as a wide receiver 3?
For me, I like him as my wide receiver 3. I look at it as like starting pitchers in baseball, like my top 20. He's one of my top 30 wide receivers. I want to push him in. I want him to be my number 3. If I had to take him as a number 2, yeah, but the way I'm going to set my team up for the most part, he's going to be my number three, and I'm going to be very happy about that.
I have Tyreek Hill slightly above Willie Snead, by the way, just to answer. One's 26, one's 29. So they're very, very close. But it's interesting because you want him as a wide receiver three, and Scotty, sort of the Saints, because they released their unofficial depth chart, and it's a BS depth chart, I understand that. Willie Snead listed as the third wide receiver behind your boy, Ted Ginn Jr.
Yeah, well, the Saints, you know, it's always, it's plug and play with them. It's never about, you know, the personnel. It's about fitting the personnel in there. It's more about the brand than it is the band, if you will. Like, you know, you can lose Brandon Cooks and plug somebody else in on a team like this. No matter who is there, they're going to take advantage of the talent. And I think, you know, he saw, like, 2 years ago what Ted Ginn could do with Cam Newton. So, you know, there is some upside there. But at the same time, you know, we've seen guys like Devery Henderson and Robert Meacham not be reliable either. So there's the other end of it, too.
You know, Devery Henderson, Robert Meacham, right. That is what I refer to, basically, when I've spoken about Ted Ginn Jr. And I know that Ted Ginn's specialty is this deep threat. We have seen it team after team after team wherever he has been. Never matched up on the fast track in the Superdome with a quarterback like Drew Brees. But do I think he's really going to be the number two, quote-unquote, receiver, Corey? Probably not.
No, he's not going to be the number two receiver in the team. We're going to be discussing these depth charts a little bit later on in the fantasy football frenzy, right? So this is where they're putting him at right now. It could be a situation where they want to let Willie Snead know. Willie Snead has not been looking good in practices and stuff like that. Could be a little bit injured or banged up, but they want to let Willie Snead know, like, listen, this is nothing is guaranteed to you. This guy, Ted Ginn Jr., has been a longtime veteran, been in the league a while. This guy can play. Now, Scott has despised Ted Ginn Jr. for years, you know what I'm saying? So, apparently, you know, he's brought Scott around to liking him. He's brought myself around to liking him a little bit more. So I can stomach Ginn Jr. I like him a little bit later on, double-digit rounds. He's one of the guys I'll be talking to. But Willie Snead is still in the mix for me. I just want to slow my roll on Willie Snead. That's just the way I'm looking at it right
I'll
now.
I'll agree with that, Corey, because I seen him go with, like, the first pick in the fourth round.
Yeah,
I've been high on Willie Snead, and I was like, whoa, that's a bit crazy to me. But just real quick with, like, say, like Tyreek Hill, and we're making these players, who would you take? To me, the guy, if he can stay on the field, that I'd rather have than Tyreek Hill, and I'll take him pretty much every time, is Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, when healthy, is a PPR machine. So for me, I'm going to, you know, I can get Diggs even later than Hill, and it's all about him. I don't know if he has the body to stay healthy, too. I mean, we have to look at that. He's a diminutive little man, but he can catch the ball and do some nice things with it.
I have Stephon Diggs one spot after Willie Snead at this moment, 29-30, literally. And I like that. It's so weird because you've been, especially the last week, Matt, kind of pumping up Stephon Diggs a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even own him yet, but I think this guy will.
Yeah, you've been pumping him up here a little bit, and I haven't taken Stephon Diggs yet. I keep feeling like there's going to be somebody I like more. And I don't get it, Corey. Like, you know me. I am biased as hell when it comes to my Terps.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, the situation in Minnesota, like, I can't draft Stephon Diggs where he's going for some reason.
Okay, put it like this.
Yep.
Would you put Sam Bradford on your team as a quarterback, too?
No.
That's why you're not fooling with Stephon Diggs.
Correct. And Matt Wood, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when it comes down to, like, Willie Snead versus Stephon Diggs for me, it's like, I look at the offenses, and, you know, that's the thing with Stephon Diggs. You know, this is, look, Sam Bradford set a completion record last year, but that's like, a lot of people say, you know, you look into it, you know, he only averaged 7 yards a pass. You know, this is not a team that's going to be airing it out a lot. You know, so you're going to get the receptions, but in terms of yardage and touchdowns, you know, I don't know what I'm going to get from Diggs.
See, I disagree with, I think this is a team that's evolving into a more pass-friendly team. I think they're going to, Shermer came, like, from, I think, week 9 or so on. They threw the ball a lot more. They were much more efficient. I'm not saying they are going to be the Green Bay Packers by any stretch, something like that. You know, they're not going to be that kind of an offense. But they have some good pieces here. They really do. Sam Bradford was a guy a couple of years ago we were all going crazy for. And, you know, now he has a full offseason. That can't be understated. That is something. He was thrown into the fire last year. Taking, you know, we talk about the NFL. You got to learn playbooks and everything, different offenses. It's not like, you know, you just go from the American League in baseball over to the National League. So,
look, I'm not saying they're going to be like a moribund type of offense, over conservative, but I don't see a lot of upside either. I think they're going to continue to be very high percentage. They want to have more balance with the run game this year with Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray. I might compare more to Kansas City.
I think that's wrong. I think it's going in a different direction. And I think Stephon Diggs, I think it was a Pro Football Focus stat or something like that. They pretty much showed when he wasn't on the injury report, his weeks were amazing.
But in the NFL, you get banged up.
He's a little guy.
He's a small dude. He's been banged up each of the last couple of seasons. And speaking of guys banged up, like we talked about Sam Bradford. You like Sam Bradford. Can Sam Bradford stay healthy 2 years in a row?
Yeah, Sam Bradford's never finished in the top 20 at quarterback. And just like, you know, I guess, you know, Matt and I just disagree. I think, you know, Stephon Diggs is going to have some good weeks. You know, I think Thielen will have some good weeks, but I don't see this offense coming as much explosive as I think they want more balance. You know, they went out and fixed their tackle problems, and I think they want to run the ball.
We'll see. Look, I'm not. You could be right. I'm going to disagree on this.
Just disagreeing with you.
But I would tell you to take one more look at the team and look what they did when they changed offensive coordinators, and look how it went from there.
I think the offensive coordinator style is going to be high.
You could just
percentage.
Say, you know what? I'm going to take a look at it.
I've already looked at it. You know, I just disagree with you.
Okay.
Yeah. I disagree with you.
Put this on record. In about a week or so, when Scott changes his mind again, when he argues with me and he says,
you've made all your points.
Dr. A.
You made all your points, I respect it. I disagree with you. I already have looked at it. But if they end up being more explosive, then I'll say, you know, Matt was right.
Scotty, where's the foundation in your rankings?
I have like in the 30s. Yeah, I got to pull it up, but I think he's like early 30s.
I mean, I'll admit, I have like Tyreek Hill right there with the Sneeds, the Crowder.
Right.
He's right after that. I feel more comfortable drafting any of those three guys, Diggs, Crowder, Sneed. I just do. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. But for where they're going, I'm going to take those guys first.
Corey, you've been quiet in this argument. Are you in on Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, I'll take Stephon Diggs as a wide receiver four type. He'd be somebody, you know, if I'm a little bit deep at wide receivers, and I don't want to. It's like how I was saying the other day, I got like a ton of DeSean Jackson. So say I'm like, I can't take no more DeSean Jackson, and Stephon Diggs is there. I'll put Stephon Diggs on the team. I'm not going to put him in. I don't want Stephon Diggs in a spot where I have to depend on him week in and week out, because I do think the offense will be a little bit more explosive this year. But this kid Diggs, I think we want to see him play a little bit healthier, be a little bit healthier in his play. You see, that first year that he played, I know he gets down for being played 13 games. I think he was inactive, though, the first 3 weeks.
He was.
I think he was inactive, so he wasn't injured. But then last year, I think he struggled with his health, and he's always nicked up and banged up. He's a Sunday morning headache type guy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's like the type of dude where you call an Uber for shorty, and then you got to go check to see if Stephon Diggs is going to play.
I got Diggs at 30.
Well, we know Al Smizzle loves him.
Yeah.
Well, his favorite player.
Well, Corey, it's really interesting you talked about that he
calling a Yuba for shorty?
No.
Oh.
That you want him.
That is interesting.
That you want him as a wide receiver 4, because in the Flex League draft, he went as wide receiver 24. That is the end of
they
the
They overvalued
round.
Him, in my
that's
opinion.
That's before Jameson Crowder. That's before Tyreek Hill.
Mouse
that's
in the
before
house.
Before Willie Snead.
Who did it?
That is before Emmanuel Sanders. It's before Jarvis Landry.
Who did it?
That was Steve Gallo.
Yeah, it's a mouse in the house.
I do love that expression.
Is it a Paul Parsons expression?
No. Mouse and that comes from Rucker Park.
Okay.
When it's somebody, like when there's a whole bunch of people on a basketball court, mm-hmm. and there's somebody that's not good,
right.
He's the mouse in the house. He's the person you attack.
Gotcha.
Anytime you want to get on the court.
I'd rather get in the draft room.
Yeah.
I'd rather get in the draft room. I'd rather get in the draft room.
And have the losing record against me, right?
I'd rather get in the draft room.
5-9 against me, right?
I'd rather get in the draft
losing record against me, right?
Well, guess what? You'll be in the same league.
Yeah. GST, yeah. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's right? Going to be nice. You guys will sit right next to each other.
Same, the draft picks right next to each other. Thank God.
I hope I don't have to slug him.
You talk so much crap, like you never laid your hands on me once.
Scott,
I don't want to see you in Lenox Hill Hospital.
They said that's why they brought me here. They brought me here to talk trash.
So Stephon Diggs, for you, in the Flex League, goes way, way too early.
Yeah, I got Stephon Diggs as wide receiver 34. I got him, I believe, Tyreek Hill, and one spot above Devontae Parker, and that could change, you know what I'm saying, obviously. I still don't know what I'm going to do with Martavis Bryant yet. The report is he should be practicing and get on the field this week. I'm not fooling with him until I see him on the practice field, because I'm quite sure the NFL is going to put a piss cup in front of him and be like, all right, show us you want to play.
This crew, Stephon Diggs, Willie Snead, Tyreek Hill, which I believe is a crew. I believe the guys are all kind of in the same
area. I got them all in the same area.
Same. I have all the literally like four spots of each other. Is Jeremy Maclin in this crew?
Jeremy Maclin's a little bit further down in that group than me.
Yeah, the whole thing with Flacco injury is a little concerned. I'm hearing he's going to be back in a week or so. So that's before. I do want to see them get in some sort of relationship. But I believe I had Maclin like 34, a little past these guys.
So a little bit past, but not too far. Okay, so we're all kind of in agreement there. We'll continue talking about some of these teams, some of the big headlines from yesterday. On the other side, I spoke about Minnesota with Stephon Diggs. Well, there was some news out of Minnesota yesterday. We'll break that down when we return. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
I mentioned a moment ago. Do you think this is Rocky also?
What? I'm not boxing. It's just like...
That's how you get his groove right there. Freestyle. That's Scotty Love right there.
Freestyle.
All right, what we got, Greg?
Do you know who sings this song, Scott?
This is...
I know who it is.
Who is it?
This is The Weeknd.
Oh, yeah. I know who that is, yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this was him.
That was him.
Very catchy. Good beat.
That was Daft Punk, like really, with the beat.
It's a jam right now. One of.
I don't think it's a jam. I think we're past
it. He's very popular.
I hear it too much. Put it like that. I hear it too much.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's all good.
What are you listening to these days?
Huh?
What are you? What,
21
you,
Savage.
21 Savage. Okay. I know what that is.
No, you don't.
Nope. I do not. I mentioned Minnesota a moment ago. Sam Bradford, of course, and Stephon Diggs. And ultimately, we always come around in Minnesota. We always come around to Dalvin Cook, who is listed as the number one running back on the unofficial depth chart by Minnesota yesterday. But that is because he's basically been the only running back practicing.
Yeah. He's the best, too.
That, too. Mm-hmm. But with Latavius Murray out and Jerick McKinnon out, it's been Dalvin Cook's show, and he's listed as number one. No more games. He's the number one running back. However, Latavius Murray was activated off the PUP list yesterday. It's going to be something to watch. How much Latavius Murray gets involved. Despite Cook being number one on the depth chart, if Latavius Murray is the goal line back, it's going to limit a little bit.
Yeah, see, the kid Cook is too exciting to take off the field. If he shows he got the you know what I'm saying, the balls to get in the end zone on the goal line, Latavius Murray's run like a fullback. You know what I'm saying? Latavius Murray is Kyle Juszczyk. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I can't do the Latin Murray thing. You know, that touchdown potential last year in Oakland, it was great. You caught lightning in the bottle. If you had him in Oakland last year and he scored those touchdowns, you were glad to have that. But the thing about it this year with this kid in Minnesota, he's not taking Dalvin Cook off the field. He may get a few spot touches here or there, and they're going to be like, okay, he sucks. Put Cook back in.
King, do you know who the number three running back? I'm sorry, I guess really it's number four because Murray's on the PUP list. Who is listed? So Murray's not in the first official depth chart, right?
Right.
So he's out. You have Dalvin Cook is number one. Jerick McKinnon is number two. Do you know who number three is?
No, I don't.
I'm not expecting you to.
Yeah.
Bishop Sankey.
Oh, you boy.
But to Corey's point, maybe Eve overtakes Murray in the goal line.
You know who's fourth? But you know who's fourth on their depth chart?
Who?
These nuts.
Wow. that was super mature.
He's like built like Jacquizz Rodgers, one of the little running backs in the league.
The actual answer is Terrell Newman.
it's Terrell Newman. Yeah, it's not these.
Yeah, Corey.
I like the catch. Scott didn't see that coming, Greg.
Corey, what is it you say about maturity and trying to do a show?
Yeah.
this guy is just so hypocritical. But I don't think this means necessarily Dalvin Cook is going to carry 30 times a game and nobody else is going to carry the ball. I like Dalvin Cook a lot, but in a lot of these situations in the NFL, and you can throw all the way back to Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams when they were in Carolina. Although this may not be quite the same. You'll have two running backs to do different things. And I think Dalvin Cook will be the main guy outside the 20s. But when they get inside, the red zone, you might see more of Murray. I could see a thing of, where Dalvin Cook has a lot of yardage, maybe only 6 rushing touchdowns.
Oh, my God. I mean, that could happen. But I don't see. Why would you take Dalvin Cook off the field
you
for effing Latavius Murray?
It's the NFL.
Murray's a bum. He's a bum.
Maybe you think so, but it's the NFL. They're not going to overwork Cook, especially when you talk about like the past injury problems that he has. You want another running back to give a breather, and you also want to give the defense a variance of looks.
That's it for hour number one. We are through. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, we're going to put Scott into the test because everyone's jumping on board. Are the rest of the Roto Experts? I think Matt Modica is. We'll talk about Cooper Kupp when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.